Okay, so we're diving into this Alaska Reads Act today. And wow, you've sent over a ton of info on this FAQs, parent guides, even presentations for teachers. It seems like Alaska's really serious about this.
It's a big one for sure. What I find really interesting is how this act tackles the reading issue from all these different angles. Like we're seeing this big push for early intervention, making sure kids are on track, and then how it all ties into IEPs and those support systems.
Yeah, those IEPs are huge. But before we get to those, maybe let's take a step back for those who might be listening, thinking, why is reading such a big deal? Why a whole new law for this?
Imagine this. Your kid's getting ready for those chapter books in fourth grade. The exciting stuff, but they're still struggling with the basics. It impacts everything.
Wow.
And that's really what this act boils down to, catching those reading difficulties super early and having a strong support system in place from the get-go.
And that's where this whole non-progression idea comes in, which honestly can sound kind of intimidating at first.
It's really about making sure a student has a solid foundation before they move on. The act is very clear that having a child repeat a grade is absolutely a last resort. It's more about providing that targeted help, working closely with parents every step of the way, making sure everyone's on the same page.
So it's not about holding kids back. It's more like, okay, let's make sure you have what you need to really succeed. That's good to hear. Now, one thing that stuck out from all this material is this emphasis on the science of reading. What exactly does that mean for my kid in the classroom?
It means Alaska is saying goodbye to those old phonics versus whole language debates and really embracing those teaching methods that have been proven effective, like research-backed, not just something that someone came up with. This isn't just educational jargon. This is about using what actually works.
So it's like we know certain things work, and this act is making sure those things are used across the state.
Got it.
Now, you mentioned IEPs earlier, and I know this is a big one for parents. So can you break down how this new law affects students with IEPs?
Absolutely. The act clarifies that having an IEP doesn't mean a student is exempt from the reading proficiency goals. But, and this is key, any decisions about a student's progress, including the possibility of repeating a grade, have to go through the existing IEP process. That means a team, including you as parents, reviews your child's individual needs, the supports in their IEP, and their progress toward those goals.
So it's not one size fits all. It's about looking at each student's needs and their individual path. Okay, now these reading screenings that are outlined in the Act, can you tell me a little more about those?
Sure. Under this new act, all students from kindergarten to third grade will be screened 3 times a year using this specific literacy tool. Think of it like taking your child for a regular checkup, but for their reading skills.
And these screenings, what are they actually looking at?
They go beyond simply checking if a student can read a paragraph. They're digging deeper to assess foundational skills like phonemic awareness. Can a child hear and manipulate the individual sounds in words, which is crucial for decoding and fluency, how smoothly and accurately they can read aloud.
So it's like understanding the building blocks, not just can they read this page?
Exactly. This gives educators a comprehensive picture of a student's reading strengths and weaknesses, allowing them to tailor interventions with much more precision.
These screenings happen 3 times a year. That's pretty often. What if a student is flagged as needing some extra help after one of these screenings? What are the next steps?
That's where the Individual Reading Improvement Plan, or IRIP, comes in. And this is something parents will want to pay close attention to. This isn't just paperwork. This is a roadmap for supporting your child's reading growth.
Okay, so walk us through this. Let's say a student is struggling with phonics. Would their IRIP include specific phonics-based interventions? How involved are parents in this whole thing?
Absolutely. The IRIP would outline those interventions, how often they're provided, and who's delivering them. Crucially, it also tracks the student's progress to see if these interventions are actually working.
Yeah.
And of course, parents are notified about their child's IRIP. The act really emphasizes ongoing communication and collaboration between you and the educators. Remember those empowering questions we discussed earlier? This is where they come into play.
I love that parents are encouraged to use their voice and advocate for their child's needs throughout this process. It sounds like a real team effort. Now, we've talked about the how of the Alaska Reads Act, but let's zoom out for a sec and talk about the why. Why is reading proficiency by third grade so important? Why are this emphasis on early intervention?
That's a fantastic question. It's all about setting students up for long-term success. Research shows a dramatic shift that happens around third grade. Before third grade, children are learning to read. After third grade, they're reading to learn.
Wow, I never thought of it like that. That's a big difference.
It is. Think about it. Suddenly, reading isn't just about deciphering words on a page, it's the key that unlocks every other subject. Science, history, even math. It all becomes so much more difficult if a student is still struggling to read fluently and understand what they're reading.
It's like hitting a wall if those basic skills aren't there.
Exactly. And that's why this early intervention is so crucial. By addressing reading difficulties before they become major roadblocks, we're setting students up for a smoother path throughout their entire education.
It's about giving them the tools to thrive, not just survive.
Precisely. And that's ultimately the goal of the Alaska Reads Act. Now, you mentioned something earlier about a dyslexia screener, which I know is a major concern for many parents.
Hmm.
Can you tell us more about how that works and what it means for our listeners?
This is important, so let's make sure we unpack it fully. We know early identification of learning differences can be so important. What's the Alaska Reads Act doing about that?
You're right. Early identification is key. With this act, Alaska is getting ahead of the game, requiring all districts to use a literacy screener that has this built-in component to catch those potential dyslexia risks nice and early.
So it's not like a full diagnosis, more like a, hey, let's take a closer look here.
Exactly. It's like an early warning system, highlighting those signs so students can get the extra support they might need, whether that's specific interventions, accommodations, or even a formal evaluation for dyslexia.
That early intervention can make such a difference. Now, another thing that I know parents are thinking about is this idea of non-progression, this possibility of a student repeating third grade if they haven't met those reading benchmarks. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Of course. And it's important to remember, this is always a last resort, not a punishment. It's about making absolutely sure your child has those key skills they'll need to really succeed in fourth grade and beyond. And the decision to even suggest non-progression, it's not something that's taken lightly.
So it's not like a quick decision. What does that process actually look like?
It's a team effort, really. It involves you, the parents, working closely with the educators. Mm-hmm. Together, you're looking at a whole bunch of data points. It's not just one test score. We're talking about your child's progress throughout the year, their classroom performance, any other relevant information.
So it's a group decision, and the parents ultimately have the final say on whether their child repeats the grade.
That's right. You're a vital part of this team. And even if as a parent you decide to waive the non-progression recommendation, the Act still makes sure your child gets that additional support, including dedicated summer reading intervention to help them catch up and stay on track.
So it's not like, okay, you're good to go. It's really about making sure they're getting what they need to be successful.
Exactly. It's about providing that support and making sure that every student has the opportunity to become a successful reader.
I love that. Speaking of support, let's talk about the financial side of things for a minute. Implementing all these new requirements, screenings, interventions, parent communication that takes resources. So how does the Alaska Reads Act address funding?
You're telling me the Act recognizes that this is an investment and it includes specific funding provisions to support districts as they roll out these initiatives.
Mm.
This funding comes directly from the state and it's divvied up using a formula that takes into account things like student enrollment and how many students need that additional reading support.
So districts with greater needs are going to receive more funding.
That's the goal. It's about making sure resources are distributed fairly and that every district, no matter where they are or their demographics, has what they need to put this act into action effectively. Now, I know some districts in Alaska were already doing great work in early literacy. How does this new law affect them? Do they still need to make big changes?
That's a good question. Some schools have great programs already, so what does adapting to this new act look like for them?
It's a great question. And the answer, like always, is it depends. The Alaska Reads Act is setting a standard for the whole state. So even those schools with awesome literacy programs will need to make sure what they're doing lines up with what the act requires.
So it's less about starting from scratch and more about making sure everyone's on the same page when it comes to teaching reading.
Exactly. It's about having that consistent approach across the state. Now, the act does have some flexibility. Schools can definitely build on those existing programs as long as they're meeting those main guidelines.
And I'm sure there's support for these districts as they're figuring all of this out, making sure everyone understands and feels good about implementing these changes.
Absolutely. The Alaska Department of Education and Early Development DEED, they've been working hard providing guidance and professional development to districts throughout this whole process. They've also put together a ton of resources like those documents you shared to help both educators and families really understand how this act works.
That's great. It sounds like there's a real effort to make sure everyone's supported, from teachers to parents, in making this happen. Now, before we move on, let's talk about standardized testing. How does the Alaska Reads Act approach those tests, especially with all this focus on literacy screenings?
That's a big one. While the Act doesn't get rid of standardized testing completely, it does shift the focus to those more frequent and I think more helpful literacy screenings we've been talking about. Remember, those screenings are designed to give a running picture of your child's progress, informing instruction all along the way.
So less about that one big test and more about using data to help teachers and make sure everyone's on track.
Exactly. It's about using the right tool for the job. These screenings are so valuable for teachers to fine-tune their teaching target interventions and really support each student's learning journey.
That makes a lot of sense. Now we've covered a lot of the practical stuff, but let's zoom out a bit. What are some of the long-term impacts if all of this works out? What could the future of literacy in Alaska look like?
That's a fantastic question, and it gets to the heart of why this act is so important. Let's imagine for a second that we fast forward 10, 20 years. What could Alaska look like if this is successful?
It's exciting to think about all the possibilities. What could change if this actually works?
Well, picture this, those reading struggles we talked about. They're caught early, and there's this support system ready to go. We're talking higher graduation rates, more students going to college or learning a trade, and in the end, a more skilled workforce for Alaska.
It's amazing how something as basic as reading can have such a big impact. It's not just about books. It's about opportunities.
Exactly. And it's not just about the numbers. Think about libraries becoming these vibrant community centers full of people who love to read, book clubs, thriving local authors celebrated. It's like this whole culture of literacy taking root and growing.
That's a great vision. Now, this act sets up a framework, but it makes you think about what we can all do to make it work. It's not just on teachers, right?
You got it. Literacy is a team effort. It takes schools, families, and communities all working together to make reading a part of everyday life.
So what can families do at home besides homework and school stuff to help their kids love reading?
Make reading feel like a normal, fun thing to do, not a chore. Read together, even when your kids can read on their own. Talk about books, set up a cozy reading spot at home. And most importantly, let your kids see you reading and enjoying books yourself.
It's about setting that example. That's huge. And what about those times when reading feels impossible, especially if a child is struggling? How can parents make it less stressful and avoid those homework battles?
Oh, we've all been there.
Focus on making reading fun. Let your child choose books they're actually interested in, even if you wouldn't pick them out yourself. Try audiobooks, graphic novels, magazines. Make reading aloud a family activity where everyone takes turns. It's all about sharing the experience. It's about finding what works for each child. That's great advice. And what about those bigger efforts we can all be a part of to support literacy in our communities? Like volunteering, advocating for school funding, supporting libraries, things like that.
Those are so important. Volunteering to read to kids at your library or school can make a huge difference. Donating books, supporting literacy organizations, fighting for better funding for early childhood education, all of that adds up. We're investing in a brighter future for our kids.
It really is an investment in everyone's future.
Exactly. When kids can read, it opens up their world. They can dream bigger, learn more, do more. They can be a part of their communities and make a difference.
That's a great way to put it. As we wrap up this episode, I keep thinking about the potential here. If this act actually achieves what it's trying to do, what could that mean for Alaska?
Let's be bold and imagine a generation of Alaskans where reading isn't something that holds them back, but something that helps them succeed.
I love that. What else do you see?
I see a workforce that's not only skilled, but also creative and ready to adapt. I see an Alaska that's a leader filled with people who have the power to learn, grow, and share their talents with the world. And it all starts with reading.
That's definitely a future worth working towards.
It really is. And it feels possible, especially when we see legislation like the Alaska Reads Act and so much support from communities.
Well, this has been fantastic. Expert speaker, thank you so much for diving into all of this with us.
My pleasure. It's not every day you get to talk about such an important topic and think about the positive impact it could have for years to come.
And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the Alaska Reads Act. We hope you've learned something new and, more importantly, that you feel empowered.
I agree.
Remember, this isn't just about a new law. This is about our kids, our communities, and the future we're creating together. Keep asking questions. Keep the conversation going and keep supporting literacy in your own lives and communities.
Well said.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep turning those pages.